everything's being tested. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency failed. Mm-hmm. No one ran to that. Mm-hmm. Even metals and silver, it'll come back, but probably, I don't have a crystal ball. But even metals like silver and gold going down, because what are they turning into? They're turning into cash. Stocks are being sold for cash. Cash, 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 cash. Everyone wants cash. They want liquidity.
Security.
All of a sudden, it is super important to them because that's what buys our food and water, medicine, etc. They need the money. Liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. That's what's going on with the market, and that's why you're just seeing everything go down.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and my awesome co-host, Tammy B.
Hey, Ken.
She's here with me virtually out of Oregon, why I work here out of Reno, Nevada, out of my office. And we're all on lockdown to some extent because of coronavirus. So do you want to ask me your typical question, Tammy, of how I'm doing?
How are you doing? I'm curious. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, right? It's just, it's how we adapt to what's been handed to us. And I assume you're always happy, cloud to cloud, cloud to cloud, lily pad to lily pad. Tammy's always happy.
Just skipping along, never a gray moment.
Out of curiosity, this whole pandemic. Yes. So you still aren't tempted to watch the news. You just still avoid it all.
Yeah. And, you know, I talk to enough people who do watch the news. Plus, you know, it just filters through. It just amazingly filters through. So it's not that I'm completely ignorant, but yeah, I do not choose to go look at the news for two reasons. One, it's depressing. Oh, three, it's depressing. It's out of my control. And I'm not entirely sure it's truthful.
Fear. Well, we'll talk about the stock markets in a little bit, but last week I was really considering doing an additional podcast to talk about coronavirus, but it's just, you know, some point in time, I just gets a little sick of it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we're here in Reno. I'm working, you know, I'm honoring what, you know, our governor of Nevada, and very similar to California, and I'm sure a lot of other states, we're told I'm on day 29 left. It's almost like a reverse Advent. It's almost like Christmas again in a way. Like,
yeah.
Advent for 30 days. You have that Advent calendar of how many days left, you know, till Christmas.
That's right.
And so we have this 30-day mandate / request. Who knows the constitutional legality of all of it? But I believe that the majority of leaders in this country, unless there is an alternative motive, I like to think there's not, you know, really want to do what's in the best interest and save lives. And I do know, I mean, I represent a fair amount of nurses and resident physicians and doctors and nurse practitioners and PAs. Now, these hospitals are getting inundated. And when you see the expansion rate of this virus, it's pretty crazy. And boy, did Italy just get really hit flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can be a week ahead of it with the U.S. and it saves lives, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of thought. I'm sure it's not fun telling the whole state you can't leave and all non-essential businesses must shut down for 30 days.
Right.
That must be a tough decision, especially when they know that 60% of this U.S. population is literally paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So I'm sure that it was not easy decisions for the leadership to say, hey, shut it down.
Right.
And so so we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, I'm good. My family's good. We're all daycares are shut down. You know, for at least for us. So our son's at home with us for 30 days. You know, we're just, you know, picking up the slack. And so a lot of things, and boy, have we talked about gratitude, right? Being important. It's what we fixate and what we focus on. Now me, absolutely. I'm like the exact opposite of you, Tammy. I can't help, but I am just fascinated by the news, but you gotta be careful. I'm on everything. And so even on my family trip last week, I just could not stop watching the market when I wasn't skiing. So it's great. I don't have that phone on me for hours when I'm skiing. But then when I come back to relax, you know, I'm reading. But I think it's important for what I do for this podcast. And then also for what I do as, you know, as an advisor, you know, financial advisor, I think it's important. And boy, the way is that, by the way, that word is going to be the kiss of death. Anyone that says, what do you do? Because I was playing with it last week.
Uh-huh.
Usually I don't say that's what I do. that I'm a financial advisor. But I have a feeling the majority of them are running to the woods and are hiding. I'm sure they're, I mean, I have a feeling for the last couple of weeks, their phones have been lit up. The majority of financial advisors out there, where for me, what a blessing last week. I can't tell you how many emails, text messages, phone calls I got with just pure gratitude that they're just so thankful that I was their advisor and that they had so much of their cash. Remember the episode we did recently talking about liquidity? Safe and protected through their Bankosaurus. Bankosaurus. And new listeners, just go look at my previous episodes where I discussed the Bankosaurus. Because I don't like, you know, labels and names are really important. And, but yeah, you go say you're a financial advisor. Oh my gosh, man, I'm sure they're just hiding because majority is like a little bit of a hiccup. Oh, you know, just you're in it for the long term. You're in it for the long term. And worst time to get out is after you just lost money. Right.
Right.
Well, but then we've had even another 30% correction on top of the first blip.
Right.
Down.
Right.
And as you look at the charts, I mean, this is what we've discussed numerous, numerous times since I've started this podcast is that fear always outweighs greed.
Absolutely.
And so it's funny. I get one of the messages I got last week was from a friend and client here locally in Tahoe. He says his boss was, this was beginning of the great purge of the market last week. I get this message that I think it was an email. He says, yeah, my boss was saying, I wonder what the market's doing today. And he said, without a beat, he goes, hey, it's going up, down, or sideways.
Ah, that's awesome.
And so he had sent me a message just laughing. I said, dude, I'm listening. You can tell I'm listening to every podcast. I'm speaking just like you. So I thought that was funny. But I was very happy to get so many messages. It just makes my day.
Sure.
People thanking me that so much of their cash is protected through just putting money under a mattress and safe. And then also a cleverly designed policies, right? The Bankosaurus. Absolutely. Bankosauri. Yep. And so that is why I do this every day, is just to help teach people the mistakes I made back in 08 and 09. And a lot of people, I wish even more, moved a little bit quicker, but I've been warning about going, please, 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 if you're 5 to 10 years out, please go into cash position. Seriously consider it for the market. And so there's a lot of things I want to talk about for today's podcast, but that's how I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Thank you. You too.
My family is doing well, and hats off to leadership. If, you know, this is a pandemic and from, by the very nature, the definition of it. And so there's a lot of things we don't know about this virus. And you know, at the same time, I mean, you know, the government really stepped in it too, right? I think the CDC, I'm not trying to attack anyone in the CDC, but boy, they missed their focus for a while. And that's their whole job, is to prevent these type of pandemics and to move quickly. And unfortunately, our hospitals, our nation was really caught flat-footed on this. And so, you know, leaders have been saying, hey, yeah, we screwed up a little bit.
Right.
And so we're doing everything we can to fix it. But it's also, as a nation, as a, for a few things, the strength of a nation, you know, learning, I didn't know this until I knew we had an incredible dependence upon other countries for our medicines, Our antibiotics. You know, I heard one quote, 96% of our antibiotics come from China.
Wow. I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah, a lot of it for our military. Pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so this goes back to where I talked about how I would love to have a voluntary tax, wipe out all income taxes, get rid of the Internal Revenue Service, and then create a voluntary tax through what's known as a consumption tax, the fair tax. And if we're going to go through, things are going to be painful financially, I'm afraid, for quite some time for a lot of people, because majority of households don't have enough savings.
Right.
They don't have enough liquidity.
Right.
Imagine how strong our nation would be. And I love, you know, I want us to get along with every country. Wouldn't that be amazing? No more wars, right? And imagine free commerce all across the world. But, you know, there's different ideology here and there. Different governments and different ways of doing things.
Yep.
But as still the wealthiest nation in the world, how we got to start changing some teachings and philosophies and really start creating different thinking of how we handle money.
Yes.
And what the government keeps doing, lowering interest, interest rates are zero again, Federal Reserve cuts, and these bonds going down to nothing. It just entices the companies, the big corporations, to keep doing what's gotten them so much trouble now, is when they can go get low loan rates. I mean, one of the major airlines just recently, because they got such low loans to these bonds, instead of using it for type of a savings type situation, they just bought back their stock.
Oh.
So, ooh.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Right.
And now they're probably going to file bankruptcy in a month.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. And so, but if you want to see a strong nation, I mean, manufacturing is important here to a certain extent. And so when you see the medicines and things like that, probably be a good idea to create some very powerful incentives as we start to go through this recovery, because who knows what's going to happen, but things turn back on in a month mm-hmm. for everyone, and restaurants can open, the ones that have enough to reopen. Mm-hmm. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, just because what's good for Wall Street doesn't mean that's what's good for Main Street.
For sure.
And vice versa. I mean, unfortunately, there's just way too much focus on protecting all these banks that have 45 to 60 trillion in derivatives out there of debt.
Right.
And we talked about the fractional reserve banking system, how they can lend out at a 10-to-1 ratio, and then they go gamble it in the markets to a certain extent. And then we have options that are at a 100-to-1 ratio and currency markets at a 10,000-to-1 ratio. What happens when people want their right. money back?
All of them.
And so you just have all this bailout and quantitative easing occurring again. It's literally like Lehman Brothers take two back in 2008-2009. The concern is, and I don't want to be negative on this episode, is that, I mean, it could be way, way worse in 2008-2009.
Right.
And so I hate, you know, I love competing, but, you know, I don't like making mistakes. I don't like losing tennis matches. I don't like falling when I'm skiing. however, I'm open to it, because if you're not pushing it, you are going to make mistakes. And the thing is did you learn from it?
Right.
And so we've gone through a huge purge recently in the market. I was expecting a strong correction, and just emphasizing, you know, I'm a big fan of liquidity and cash. That's where it should start. You should, to have very successful financial strategies, you really need to have a defense mentality. Defenses win championships. Offenses sell tickets.
Nice.
And one of my recent client, who's an engineer working at the mines, this was probably about 7-8 months ago. I'm sure that quote came from someone, but he said that to me, and I emphasize it all the time in one-on-one meetings. And so from an engineering perspective, that's called safety factor and redundancy. And when things go sideways, what does everyone run to? When the markets, since you don't probably pay attention to any of this stuff, Tammy.
That's true.
So the market has taken a huge crash. Why do you think that is?
Oh, fear is my guess.
Yeah, fear. Uncertainty is the worst thing. I think a lot of us would just rather markets would rather just get horrific news and then be told this is the solution than this uncertainty, because no one knows what this virus is going to do.
Right.
It's just an incredible amount of unknowns.
Sure.
And I have a few theories on that one. Now, that's epidemiology is the best way I can pronounce it.
I'd say that's close enough.
I took a risk. Sometimes I slaughter some of these words. I'm not, you know, I don't understand everything that the CDC and our government has to go through and all the, and by the way, since I want to say I'm just so grateful for all the nurses and the doctors that are front and center on this essentially war against this virus. I'm so grateful for what they have to do and that skill set that they have. I mean, my daughter works at a nursing home taking care of, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, citizens. And it sounds like, you know, where she's at, they really were ahead of it and really, really did a lot of training and protocols to make sure that they do everything they can to mitigate the risks of their center getting coronavirus. And so I really appreciate what they're doing. And but boy, have our hospitals been caught flat-footed. I really hope they learn from this, or I hope our government learns from it, or CDC and everyone else involved. And then from that standpoint, But there's not enough test kit. I was talking to clients earlier today. I haven't seen them for a while, but they really recently came back from a trip, and they're concerned that they might have it. They don't know. Could be a regular flu, might not. But they're trying to get tested, and a couple weeks ago, it's like, oh no, we're not going to do it. And then they're calling back, and one's healthy again, but then the spouse is sick. And it's like, well, I'm healthy. I don't have the systems, but go check my spouse. Right. Oh, no, we still just want to test you.
Oh,
we're not going to test the other. It's like, are you kidding me? Test everyone. And so when you see what South Korea is doing, where they're supposedly, per the news, they're testing 20,000 people a day, that kind of data could really, really help.
Sure.
And I don't want to put you on the spot because my wife's told me to stop doing it.
It's quite all right.
All right, but like you know fractions, right? You got the numerator on top.
Yeah, do I have to get out a
calculator? Denominator on the bottom.
Then? Yeah, right? I know that part. Do I need to get out a calculator?
No, you don't.
Okay,
but my point is that we don't know, and so I've been watching this since early January when John Hopkins put up their coronavirus tracker. Every day, because I'm a dork, that's what I do every morning. The stock market, I want to see what's going to happen with the futures market, how things are going to open. I just like watching the numbers. I like watching patterns.
Mm-hmm.
It's my bright and shiny object.
Right.
I've emphasized over and over again, I'm not anti-Wall Street. I'm just anti-everyone having everything in it.
Right.
You know, it's like, that's not where you start.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, I've been watching it. And so like the data coming from China, which appears haven't been totally forthcoming, the government, you know, was not showing the typical exponential curve of doubling over 4 or 5 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little misleading. And then now we're seeing coming out of like Italy, 41,000 as of today, 41,000 Italians, you know, citizens have been diagnosed with coronavirus. Mm. And then and there's been only 4,000 recovered and then 3,400 deaths.
Huh. Wow.
And to give you an idea, what I'm talking about with numerator over, you know, denominator is that you take 3,405 deaths over the 41,035. I'm pulling out my calculator. You know, it's concerning. Now, keep in mind, it's concerning because that's showing an 8.3% kill rate.
Mm. Yeah.
The flu is for anything I've been reading over the last few weeks, is 0.1%.
Mm.
This is 8%. So that is 80 times.
Right.
More brutal.
Hmm.
So if you take those kind of numbers and just say, take it as 2% of a population of over 300 million, I'm not trying to bum you out. Now you're not going to want to be my co-host anymore.
Oh, I'm fine. Keep going. It's all right.
If it was something that crazy, that's 6 million deaths in the U.S. We just took a 300 million, I believe we're more than 300 million,
mm-hmm.
but just assuming the population is 300 million, that's 6 million people who would die from this if those are... Now, here's the problem, though. We just know the numerator. We don't know how many people are running around that already have had it and right. have no symptoms.
Right.
And so the encouraging part is you see people coming off these ships. They're saying, yeah, half had it and didn't even know.
Right. Sure.
They're fine with it.
Right.
And so once we start getting more and more information, I mean, the reality is that, and I was reading something saying that, the point is to talk about money. I don't know anything about pandemics. I realize every day I'm pretty ignorant, right? But when you go to all these sources and you read and read and read and you start seeing overlap, it all helps to understand. But they're saying a lot of the flus, you know, and these things that occur, we really only know about 14% of the population is identified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has it.
Right.
And so, the point is that it's probably, 6 times more people have it than we realize. And so maybe a quarter million of people Italy are affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so then maybe it really could just have a kill rate of the normal flu.
Right.
We just don't know.
Right. It's a good point.
And so in many ways that could be very, very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's horrible seeing people die, but it's the factor of life. But if it was really a quarter million of people in Italy were affected, well, now that's more of like a 1% kill rate, which is still, geez, that's still horrible.
Right.
That's still incredibly high. That's 10 times more than the normal flu.
Right.
And so I admire, I don't know what, I believe the majority of leaders are doing what they think is in the best interest for citizens and the nation. And they're just trying to protect people. unfortunately, major economic impact.
Right. Sure.
And this goes back to previous episodes we talked about. I mean, my gosh, 2 months ago about my concern about the supply chain and how money must move. It has to flow always. Mm-hmm. And when things sit idle for 30 days, one of my favorite movies, I don't know, my dad just had me watch all these old school movies when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so Forbidden Planet, that movie I think was made in the 60s. And I remember watching that. It's like that movie was awesome. It scared the crap out of me.
Oh, and, I don't remember it.
Yeah, Forbidden Planet. It had Leslie Nielsen in it, which is funny because he was a comedian. Remember Leslie Nielsen?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, he was like a serious actor.
Really?
In the 60s before he became a comedian.
That's funny.
I guess, in his movies. So anyway, but there's another movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh.
And so last week I was telling my wife, this is literally going to be, and I was telling her last week before the announcement, I said, if everything is shown, it seems like everything has to just shut down for 30 days if they want to kill off this thing or substantially slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally as of yesterday, this is not the day the earth stood still, but it's literally the earth is standing still for 30 days.
Right.
The month the earth stood still. But what are we going to learn from all this? And so there's a couple things I wanted to crank through, Tammy. But any thoughts as I'm rambling and all these pieces? I haven't gotten to numbers, but I think that on the positive side is I think our country's trying to protect us. I think they're doing what's in the best interest of saving a lot of lives, potentially, and giving our hospitals the time to recover. And I hope our hospitals and our leadership understand that certain things just need to be manufactured in the U.S. We can't be dependent on everyone else.
Right.
I love free trade, but my gosh, I crave a government that would just create financial incentives. I mean, imagine how many corporations or companies would just pop up if you just tell them zero income tax, like with the fair tax.
Sure. Yeah.
You come in stores, it's zero income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Light it up. Get us our filters, you know, air masks, blah, 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 everything we need.
Right.
Medicines. And still embrace free trade. I hate tariffs. So how do you get rid of tariffs? Just, hey, if you build in the U.S., it's 0% income tax for the companies.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but there's some things I want to hit on. But anything you want to add before I go into my other comments? I've just been rambling. So anything you want to bring up, Tammy?
No, as you were talking about it, I kept thinking, no wonder people keep calling you and thanking you, because the Bankasauri, you know, I love the fact that your logo is a dinosaur, because with all those teeth and claws and everything else, it gives this sense of protection and security from a lot. Like, this is legit what we're going through. And yet people are calling you and thanking you because the tool that you're offering and teaching about is something that can cause people a feeling of security, even during something like this.
Well, the Bankasaurus just creates, it's just one tool in the tool chest. I mean, I work with everything. I mean, I look at over 27 different elements on a financial strategy when I'm working with clients and repositioning things so that it's all working in synergy. And it always starts with a defense type approach, because things happen. And anything we can do to eliminate and reduce a lot of uncertainty and create peace of mind is very powerful. And then also for my clients and others out there that have a lot of liquidity, like looking forward 2, 3, 4 months out, some incredible opportunities are going to seek us out.
Awesome.
Right. And so a couple of reasons why the stock market's crashing. Yeah. Right. Fear always outweighs greed. And so, but now there's this kind of run on the stock market. And so tons of people are liquidating their stocks because they need the cash, because they might not be able to work for a while.
Mm-hmm, right.
So they're selling. And when I talked about this in an episode several weeks ago, before this all really hit in, is that even though you're in things like the SPYDRs, SPY, the ETF SPY, I love trading that ETF. It has so much liquidity. I mean, it's like what it's called a spread between the bid and the ask. Is pennies. Last week, I'm looking at it, and the separation spread, which is created by the market makers on the exchange, it was at one point in time $6.
Wow.
Which is just, I've never seen that. It's unreal. Mm. And so all of a sudden, one of the most liquid ETFs in the market, probably the most liquid, wasn't very liquid anymore.
Mm.
And so when you've got this falling knife, no one wants to buy on the other side. So it just keeps going down and down and down. And so it's so discounted. Someone finally goes, hey, this is a good opportunity. I'm going to snake this.
Right.
You know, this stock, this equity, something. So everyone's trying to get cash. Now, what's interesting, usually I don't name names, but he's a big guy. I mean, Ray Dalio is a huge hedge fund investor, billionaire. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to put this in the show notes. And he made a comment in January saying that cash is trash.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's interesting. A billionaire hedge fund investor saying cash is trash. Yeah. And here I'm just me.
Right. You
know, the host of this podcast.
Right.
I guess, what do I know? Except what I've been through in the past. And I'm really into liquidity. And I think that every family should have at least 6 months to a year. But yeah, he says that cash is trash in January.
Wow.
What did he get that one wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in the article, and I'll have the links. Let's see. I'll bring it up, but I'll have it in the show notes if I can get my stupid coronavirus tracker out of the way. Yeah. Ray Dalio, and this was on Business Insider. Proclaimed cash is trash and warned investors against ditching stocks for dollars. That was in January. Now, out of curiosity, if people who've listened to this podcast and others teaching the same message and were being taught, hey, I should have 6 months to a year worth of savings, emergency opportunity fund, having that kind of money liquid for investment opportunities. By the way, Warren Buffett, who I think is a brilliant investor, he's, you know, he's a big fan. He's numerous times says, yeah, you should just ride the S&P index, right? Just let it ride and ride, buy and hold. That's what he says. But if you watch what he does, he always has an incredible amount of money sitting liquid. He's had money sitting liquid for a long, long time, for years.
Right.
And so when he goes to invest, he's not necessarily investing in the stock market. He just buys companies. It's substantial discounts.
Yep.
So my argument is cash is not trash. Cash is king in so many ways. Imagine how powerful this nation would be. I can't remember. I mentioned this earlier on the episode. If every family, every individual, every business, whether small or large, had 6 months to a year worth of liquidity to make payroll, payments, obligation, everything.
Very powerful.
How powerful would our nation be, and how much easier a decision would have been for our leaders a month or so ago, say, hey, we got to stop everything for 30 days because this is what the top doctors and scientists are saying. Because then now the finance equation's out of it. Everyone's going to survive and not get purged. But I feel so bad for the service industry. I lasted like a whopping 4 to 6 weeks. I can't remember how long it was. As a back waiter, it was Lone Eagle Grill up in Incline Village in Nevada. I loved that restaurant. And I just loved learning to be, you know, waiter, back waiter. But boy, did I bust my butt.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like I had no idea what they went through because I never was like on the service side. This was in college. So anyway, it's like, but you know, they work their butt off.
Yep.
They work so hard and they're so dependent. And to have all these restaurants shut down for 30 days, the business owners, all the servers. I mean, it's going to be financially devastating.
Yeah,
to them.
Yeah, for sure.
And so now, but what if they were, they had advisors teaching them to have 6 months in savings?
Right. They'd be okay.
Crap, what if it was just 2 months?
Yeah.
You know, that sucks watching that money go away. But this goes back to the emails and text messages and calls I was getting. Is there just so much gratitude is that they have so much money liquid.
Right.
To survive this storm.
Yep.
And that's why I've been so passionate, because that's why everything I did wrong in 08, 09 is I had everything in investments. Mm-hmm. I thought cash was trash too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because I didn't have 6 months to a year in liquidity when, you know, all of a sudden I'm on the corner saying I'll engineer for food. You know, I got purged of everything.
Right.
And that's what, so I don't want anyone, I, you know, listens to this podcast or anyone I work with directly to ever go through that kind of pain I had to endure. And unfortunately, ones I haven't been able to help, they're going through it right now.
Yep.
And so what's going on in the stock market is everyone just wants cash. Mm-hmm. So cash isn't trash. Cash is king. And maybe that'll be the title of this episode is Cash is Not Trash.
Nice.
And so, and what's interesting is it's everything's being tested. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency failed. It, no one ran to that. Mm-hmm. Even metals and silver, it'll come back, but probably, I don't have a crystal ball, but even metals like silver and gold going down, because what are they turning into? They're turning into cash. Stocks are being sold for cash. Cash, 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 cash. Everyone wants cash. They want liquidity.
Security.
All of a sudden, it is super important to them because that's what buys our food and water, medicine, et cetera. They need the money. Liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. That's what's going on with the market. And that's why you're just seeing everything go down. Now, I'm hoping, I told my wife last week, I said, you know, the S&P 500. Now, I don't know squat, everyone listening, so please don't take this. I was like, hey, I think 2350 could be a good resting point for the S&P 500. Hmm. If it breaks through that, then who knows where it's going to go? Maybe to zero. I don't know. Right. But we'll see. It's like, can it please just slow down right there? And I think as long as we can endure this for the next few weeks, there's going to be some incredible opportunities for people to learn, mm-hmm. to start taking immediate action to embrace liquidity. The ones that get really bold, they can go on to my website, engineerofinance.com, read my blogs, get really brave, reach out and talk to me. I'll help anyone.
Right. You will.
It's a 15-minute phone call and I'll help.
Yeah.
You know, just to give my input. That's what I live for every day. Now, gratitude-wise, you know, I'm doing my part. I'm embracing this 6-foot social distancing. We're essentially not doing, no face-to-face meetings. Everything's been virtual because of this and will be for the next 29 days. Now, thank God for the technology. Thank God for companies like Zoom and the telephone companies that have the phenomenal telecommunications that we have. A lot of business can go on as usual,
yep.
like this podcast.
That's right.
We're thousands of miles away from each other, right? Yeah. And so I'm so grateful for that. And boy, will I emphasize some of these telecommunication companies. Focus what you guys have done best and keep being great at providing phenomenal internet and phone services and telecommunications, and stop trying to get into the entertainment industry.
Oh.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I love entertainment. Thank God for it. But I think some should just stick to their niching and keep doing what they do so well.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's created a huge amount of peace of mind for a lot of people that we still have the ability to get up and talk on our cell phone.
Yeah,
with the ability to communicate via internet, money can move. I can't imagine if that stopped too.
Yeah.
That would be Armageddon.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all these people not being able to look at their iPhones all day long? It's just all stopped.
Well, and so many
people. Not be able to reach out to people you care about.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm really grateful, gratitude-wise, every day for what I have. I think there's a lot of upside for people if we can hang in for a month. Mm-hmm. And boy, there's a lot of learning lessons. There's a lot of stuff. But I also was going to mention a little bit, we're already running out of time, but Isaac Newton, three laws of motion. Mm. And I'll talk about one and two. Every object that rests or wants to stay at rest, every object that's at rest wants to stay at rest. That's the first law. Mm-hmm. And every object that's in motion wants to stay in motion. And so when you get this kind of momentum in the market when it's going up, mm-hmm. it likes to keep going up for the most part, right? And then when it's going down, it likes to go down. And boy, it seems like it goes down way harder, doesn't it? Literally just in a couple weeks, everything since that has gone up in the market since Trump was inaugurated, mm-hmm. We're even now. It's all awesome. In 1 week, 4 years gone in the market. And so the second law, Newton's law of motion, is that it has to do with force. Force equals mass times acceleration. You know, to change velocity, some type of external force has to come in to slow it down and stop it or get it to move. And so when I'm working on financial strategies with clients, and a lot of it's very different, it's very contrarian to what the industry teaches as a whole. And so that's a lot to digest. And so it takes a fair amount of force, right? It's mass times acceleration to get things moving. Does that make sense, Tammy?
It does, yeah.
From a psychological standpoint, we've got to start creating new habits and new patterns, but through automation and how I teach clients what to do, it's not that hard. It's just the psychological resistance. And so you can start really changing habits in a month and start focusing on like, hey, how can we start saving 10 to 20% a month? You know, and so I'm really hoping that there's enough stuff being done. And I'm not a fan of our Federal Reserve. I think it, don't beat up on it too much. I just hate it. It's amazing. It just seems like when they take action, do things, I don't feel like us are the ones that there's number one focus. It just, to me, it seems like the big entities, the banks, are number one in line to be protected.
Right.
And it's not what I want to see anymore. And so I think the more and more we can become independent. Now, interesting, we did that episode where I was saying how selfish is selfless.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of people's behavior, you see this stuff on the news. Selfish is sometimes just selfish too.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, oh, hey, we're in our 30s and 20s, and we're immune to this thing. It's just going to be. It's like this was the nickname supposedly. My wife was telling me is to call it the boomer killer. Oh, it's just going to kill old people. Oh. Well, guess what? I represent a fair amount of people in the medical industry. This thing, the ones it takes a hold of, a lot of people are in their 20s and 30s and 40s. It's not the boomer killer. It doesn't care what your age is.
Right.
And so all these ones out there partying, like they don't care, although they could be carriers and wipe out other people. Sometimes selfish is flat out selfish.
Yeah.
And people need to take responsibility and do what they can to protect themselves, but also protect the community. But that was kind of my positive, is that there's going to be some incredible learning opportunities for everyone. And now that we've had this big purge in the market, and I hope it stops and just stays flat for a while, please. I don't care if it goes up for a while, just please stay flat. And, and we can start really changing some old habits. And also, by the way, there's also so many other areas you can invest in that's outside the market. I like Wall Street, but there's also incredible investments in private equity. There's incredible opportunities on the energy side right now with oil being slashed. Boy, it's pretty brilliant with Russia, this battle with OPEC Plus and OPEC, just literally at the worst timing for the U.S., just knocking oil down to like 30 a barrel and lower, and just decimating the shale oil industry. But there's incredible opportunity for people to get phenomenal returns. I mean, there's risk in any type of investment. But in the energy, the oil and natural gas sector, technology sectors, life settlements, I'm just throwing out a few things, metals, right? There's a whole bunch of things not correlated to the stock market.
Oh,
right. And savings and the Bank of Soros.
Yeah.
That can be done and working in synergy that could create a phenomenal amount of wealth for people just by changing a few habits. It's pretty simple. And like I say over and over again, a test is easy once you know the answers. And I love pulling people along. And some clients, I still feel like I push them a little bit. But for the most, I just like pulling people along and helping. And it's just really fun. And it's a huge peace of mind that from an individual level, if I personally have been able to change my habits for over a decade, and then I taught it to my family, and then I taught it to the community, and then I taught it to my clients, and I'm teaching it to all the listeners on this podcast. What a strong community and what a strong nation if we start creating more and more control for ourselves and less dependence upon the stock market, the financial industry, and our government. That's it for today. Anything you want to add, Tammy? You want to wrap it up?
Sure, sure. Something that Ken's been doing this entire time is looking at something that's, it's unusual and it's in its extremity. And it's, did I say that right? In its severity, that's what I meant. We don't usually come across things like this, and it's negative. It's having life-altering impact on people's, and some obviously are not surviving it. And yet what he's doing is he's finding what's good. And this is not a callous approach. This is a smart approach in my mind. And I think it's good that we can do, all of us, is find the good in the situation while still caring and giving and being selfless. So thank you, Ken, for doing your part.
Thank you. Well, I wish everyone the best. I look forward to the next episode. Now, this guest next week, hopefully one of these days, Tammy, you'll get to meet him. Very brilliant man, brilliant economist, and he has a very fascinating story. He defected from the Soviet Union in the early 80s, and so the discussion will be about capitalism, socialism, and it's going to be a fascinating podcast. So I'm really looking forward to the next episode. At the time that we're getting this all arranged, I didn't know coronavirus was going to shut down the world for 30 days. There's going to be more of a different discussion about the type of candidates that are running for election and what he's experienced and what he understands as socialism versus what Americans understand as socialism. And so it's going to be an incredible episode. So I look forward to everyone getting tuned in to listen to that one. And I think that's it. Anyone wants to learn more about what I teach, please go to engineerofinance.com. If you want some more help, don't hesitate to reach out and schedule a time to talk to me. And I think that's it. I look forward to the next episode. Thank you, Tammy B. As always, you're awesome. And thank you to all the listeners. And I just love doing what I'm doing and still amazed I'm behind a microphone. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.